The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. How about some SiriusXM Channel 158? However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. This is a numbers game.
And again, you get bonus points if you take us in with always. If you get YouTube TV, if you get SiriusXM, if you get your Alexa playing. I'd like a video of that, actually.
That would be outstanding. That would be outstanding. We got an outstanding show. JVT joining us in mere minutes. Let's call it our senior NBA analyst. Talk about all things NBA and beyond. Matty Cox from Three Man Weave. Great college basketball game last night, which we'll get to. Cognizant Classic Preview Golf with Kelly Bidlin. Kelly Bidlin's got some Cognizant Classic thoughts.
The old Honda, Gil. This is my stomping grounds, Palm Beach Gardens.
That's the old Honda. Now they call it the Cognizant.
That's right.
Yeah. And a little later on the show, Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke, John Legesa. Oh, a little burst of instant offense, the microwave. John Legesa from The Athletic to talk baseball with us. And the Academy Awards, Kelly. The 97th Academy Awards are this weekend, and our very own Brian Ortega will join us to give us his bets.
That's right.
His thoughts on all things movie-wise. And Brian, for those who don't know, is, what would you call him, a snobby movie star, critic of sorts?
He has his passionate thoughts about movies, Las Vegas, restaurants, and bars.
What did he
check
say?
Out Concierge Confidential, his podcast.
He's still doing that?
Yeah, he is.
What did he say to JVT that one time about a movie? He was like, what did he say to him? He goes, maybe you didn't understand the movie.
Man, that was a day me and JVT were hosting, and Ortega was producing, man. I forget what movie they were talking about, but I had seen it. Me and Brian and I were talking about it, and JVT was asking a question about it. Brian was like, hey, it might be a little too over your head. Something like that.
That's what we're referring to. Anyway, we'll talk about
that. JVT probably remembers the details.
Oh,
about
I'm
it,
sure he does. Maybe we'll ask him. If only they were both coming
on
today.
Yeah, if only they were both on.
A couple of things. One I did allude to last night. I don't know if you saw this game. Georgia beating Florida 88-83. Georgia led at one point by 26 points. And they led by double digits. They were 6.5-point pre-flop dogs here. They led by 26. And even like, I don't know how to put this. It kind of gets washed away in this. But with about, 6-5 minutes left in the game, Florida was still down double digits. And they weren't, I don't know, it just didn't feel like they had the ability to push the ball up the court and really make a game of this. And then all of a sudden, the threes just started dropping. And things just started working out very well there. And they came back. What were you just showing me? What were you trying to signal me during that?
You got a hair on your face. That's all I was trying to do.
I'm in the middle of a thing. I'm talking about a game. I'm like, what? And I'm looking at the camera. Like, what happened here?
I was like a third base coach. I was like, steal third, man. I gave one of these.
anyway, Florida goes on a run. They actually take the lead. They take the lead with under a minute left, and then Blue Kane hits a three for Georgia, and Georgia goes on to win it 88-83. A great game, but one of these games, and we'll talk to Matty Cox about this from Three Man Weave, one of those games that even in defeat, I kind of feel better about Florida, even still.
So I did catch the end. I didn't realize Georgia had that big of a lead.
Because
I saw Florida come back, take the lead, and then saw the ending, and good call by Dallin Cuff, who was on Georgia yesterday.
Yes, he was. As I believe, I believe Dr. Bob was as well. Just random. But, again, we talk college basketball, all these teams that we feel like. And Florida has been a pretty consensus answer to the question of, if I take Auburn and Duke off the table, who's winning this thing? Florida, pretty consensus answer from a few of our guests. And the other thing that we have college basketball-wise, there's always been on the rundown here every single day, and I've kind of not gotten to it yet this week, but I will now, which is the Wooden Award. Which right now, again, it's a two-man race. It has been for quite some time, if not for most of the season. Jani Broom of Auburn and Cooper Flagg of Duke. Flagg -160, Jani Broom +125 for Auburn. Remember, this was one of these things where Flagg was the dog till he had this massive game one Saturday in December or early January? I can't remember exactly. And it flipped. Flagg remains here -160, Broom +125. I don't know that I wouldn't bet on Jani Broom right now at +125.
Well, and the reason I caught on to this is just this number came crashing down. I mean, I think Flagg got out to like minus 600, something like that. So this is coming way, way, way down over the past week or so.
It's just one of these things, too, where if you did based on stats, right, Cooper Flagg averages 19.4 a game, Broome 18.6, but Broome has the edge in rebounds, 11.1 to 7.6. Broome 50.7 field goal percentage from the field, Flag 49.1. I mean, none of these stats are going to barrel over the other guy. So it kind of comes down to, what do you think? So Cooper Flagg, even if you think Cooper Flagg's going to be a better pro, which a lot of people do, that's not what this is, right? This is, you know, who is the best college basketball player in the country? And I think if we relate it to the Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen thing, what did I say even as a Lamar Jackson guy? The one thing I would concede, that is, if you voted for Josh Allen on the basis of, well, if I took Josh Allen off the Bills would have won two games. This is, let's put it this way, Jahni Broome fits more into that category than does Cooper Flagg. I think Duke is better without Flagg than Auburn would be without Broome.
Gotcha.
And, oh, he happens to be the best player, talking about Broome, on the best team in the country, in the best conference in the country.
At least I feel this way. Doesn't it always feel like they almost try to go out of their way to not give it to the one and done star freshman kid?
Yeah, that's an angle for sure.
Like if there's a comparable case like Broome, and it's, well, he's been in college for a couple of years, it always feels like they want to award the college basketball side of it a little bit more.
Anyway, that's my thought on this day is that the Broome kind of wins on the extra sort of the peripheral things, not on the stats. Okay. We love our listeners, by the way. Thanks to James from Philly for bringing us cards yesterday.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Got me a Joe Gibbs card. Got you a Jameis Winston card. Our listeners are the best. And by the way, gifts are not required. But thank you so much, Doug Wedge in the past, Joe C with all these great gifts that they've given us. It's so humbling, and we appreciate it. But another thing that our listeners do is they provide us with all kinds of stats. And listeners who have become guests, like Michael Montesano, who won the Circa Booby Prize the first year, $100,000, and he's a regular guest on this show. And I know you and Joe Cirillo, had him on last week. And when it comes to some of these awards, transitioning now from college basketball to pro, I just wanted to sort of, you know, how can I say this? Just emphasize once again that perhaps we're all Meshuggah for voting on any of this or for betting on any of this. Defensive Player of the Year, which obviously now has turned on its head because of the Victor Wembanyama deep vein thrombosis that has caused him now to be out for the rest of the season. And so the question becomes, okay, where's the bet here? And you have a market where Jaren Jackson Jr. Is a co-favorite right now with Evan Mobley. And you sort of say to yourself, okay, how do you parse this out? Is there a bet there, or should it be someone who's a longer shot? And what Michael Montesano has done brilliantly is really done a deep dive study on who has won the award in the past and what stats have led them to winning that award. And the question then becomes, vis-a-vis the betting market, does any of this make sense? Here's Montesano's grid for the Defensive Player of the Year past winners over the last decade. And what you will see is that he has different rankings, right? Team defensive rank, the player defensive rating. You have the, DWS right there is the
defensive win share.
Win shares, that's an individual metric. And he goes on and he has a weighted average on the right side for those categories. He has a weighted average, and then later he has a counting stats average. But this, we show the weighted average here, and you see what the lower, by the way, the better, right? Because we're talking about ranking, so obviously first is better than 10th. So you see, like, Giannis was the most dominant of all in 2020, in the pandemic year, in the bubble. That year, 1.0, that was the best ever. But what he did then was sort of compare to what's going on with the players this year. And there's a lot of takeaways. One of which is, if we could throw up that graphic, if we have that one, but one of which is, you know, you take a guy like Evan Mobley. Let's go to the co-favorites, right? Right now, Evan Mobley, if you look at his numbers right there, those are unbelievably similar to what he has had in past seasons, right? It's basically the same scoring rank. That's the weighted average ranks in the second column. And the same counting stats, defensive rebounds, blocks per game, steals per game, as he did last year, right? Little better scoring rank this year, perhaps. But last year, he received no Defensive Player of the Year votes. This year, he's the second favorite, even a co-favorite. And then when it comes to Jaren Jackson Jr., his scoring rank and counting stats when he won Defensive Player of the Year 2 years ago compared to this year, kind of hilarious. It really is. It's not an improvement. If anything, it's just, you know, maybe even a tick worse in some cases. So there, and those are the co-favorites. So based on the numbers and based on Montesano's deep dive, it makes no sense whatsoever that Mobley and Triple J are your co-favorites in this category. SGA is the guy, right? Those guys are barely in plus money. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is 30-1, and he by far meets the criteria of past Defensive Player of the Year based on the deep dive Montesano stats, both in the weighted average and in the counting stats, and yet the betting market has him at 30-1 because it's the human element of, okay, but are they going to give an MVP candidate, maybe the guy who's going to win MVP, perhaps irrationally over Jokic, who's having his best season, but they're tired of giving Jokic MVP, so they're going to give Shai MVP, and so therefore they probably won't give him both that and this. It's all Mashugana, is the point of all of that. And good on Montesano because he's given us the actual numbers that have led to past winners and how wildly inconsistent all this is. And by the way, we pointed that out last year when we screamed, y'all are going to give it to Wembanyama, ignoring the reason you didn't give it to him this year, meaning last year.
Yeah, I've bet Zubac. Biggest point of all this, though, I completely agree. The favorites are too heavily mispriced at the top.
Zubac has the highest of the counting stats, by the way.
Yep.
Talking about rebounds, blocks, and steals put together. We'll come back. Let's talk some NBA with JVT on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN.
The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Our number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, Sirius XM Channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland, live from Circa. Lovely studios here at Circa.
Yes.
Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. If you have not been to Circa, what would you say? It's not only the biggest sports book on planet Earth, greatest pool experience while you're watching sports on planet Earth.
I think it's also, like, okay, it's the nicest place downtown, right on Fremont. So I love to kick it on Fremont. Friends come to town. Love to go out there with the crowd, have a rowdy time.
You like
but
to,
sometimes
you like to kick it, do you?
Yeah, sometimes I need to escape to some AC, get a nice cocktail, right? This is the place you go to. This is the escape off the rest of Fremont.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. Jack in a Prius 2.0. Just had a text exchange about the show with my bud and wanted to echo my words directly to you. A numbers game really is the best blanking show. Super informative, no BS. You just give the info and your voice is super soothing to the ears. By the way, hit this last night. What did he hit? He hit Mitchell Marner, game to reach overtime and OT goal score. Oh, and the Leafs-Bruins game. By the way, thank you. First of all, Jack in a Prius, thank you very much for the kind words. The Ovechkin thing is unbelievable.
It's crazy.
Ovechkin, what is he, 13 goals behind Gretzky now for the all-time goal
list? I think
it's
12 after last night.
I think it's 13 to break, right? Maybe it's
okay,
13
yeah,
to break.
Yeah.
12 to tie, 13 to break. Ovechkin, who again, Alex Ovechkin of the Caps, who based on like the age curve and how his stats were going in the previous years, it looked like it would be next year. And like not really early necessarily next year. Like, you know, okay, midway through next year, whatever. He's like on pace to break this by April.
I mean, I remember us discussing it before the season, and it was like everybody we talked to was like, nah, it's not going to happen this year, but it's going to happen.
What was that? His 19th 30-goal season, and this was like his fifth fastest of all of them. Cheap prop bets. Only the worst three teams get the same odds to win the NBA lottery at 14%. Yes, thank you.
Fourth is 12.5.
12.5%. I said four teams. It's three teams that get 14% of the ping pong balls. It's four teams that end up, what is it, the top four? Like they get to the commercial, they get to the five, and then it's the you basically can find your way into the top four kind of thing. Jesse Welch. Oh, man, I'm going to continue throwing money away on SGA for Defensive Player of the Year in the same exact way I did for Wemby last year. Yeah, man, could be. Evan Klein. Medically speaking, he had bubble guts. That's right. Last name, Nash. Kelly, come on, man. How did you not start that rant segment with the most emphatic, I'm sorry? Missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Primetime. Yo, I'm sorry. Angry Angry Kelly Michael Bidlin. What's the CC stand for?
Country Clubbin.
Angry Country Clubbin. Kelly Michael Bidlin is the best. Jerry the best. All in on firing up joint tonight. See how he said that? That's the joint. And listening to Potty Mouth Kelly on his golf podcast that I've never heard about anywhere. Yeah, that's right. It does get promoted enough. And BroSec 1870, college basketball runs have been crazy. 10-point leads haven't been safe. You know what they say about basketball. It's a game of runs. And I got bubble guts, he says.
That's a good tweet.
Yeah, he's a very tweets. Good. Best listeners in the game. Ladies and gentlemen, he's the microwave. You remember the microwave Vinnie Johnson from the Detroit Pistons back in the day, instant offense? That's what John Legesa is, MLB and NFL writer for The Athletic and MLB Fantasy Life. You can follow him on Twitter at John Legesa. That's Lag-heza. Phonetically, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Johnny?
Let's go. John Legesa, flow sharper than a razor. Did you miss me or did you miss me? That's a rhetorical question, guys.
What the heck? Wow. That was amazing.
That was awesome.
John, in addition to the pedigree, the accolades that I just gave you in terms of where you're working here, what did you do now? You're taking over Matthew Berry's newsletter?
Yeah, there's this guy named Matthew Berry. A lot of people know about. Active to my guy, he sore to me. I've been writing the betting newsletter, and hey, like my mom used to say, if it's free, it's for me. So at Fantasy Life, you go under the betting tab, subscribe. Again, it's free. Baseball season 3 times a week, and we're doing team previews. You know, I have my mix of a couple jokes. Today we covered the Sacramento Athletics of Oakland by way of Las Vegas today, if you're interested. You can check that out with my, you know, favorite bets. We break down some stats, how I like to go about it. And I actually mentioned these wind bands to you. I mentioned to Kelly, a little interesting new wrinkle in the futures market.
Oh, I mentioned it the other day when I was talking about my Guardians underplay, that I liked a wind band bet. I have them under 82.5, but I actually, at plus money, would not be upset with anybody. I think it was 74 to 79 wins was like plus 320. Don't hold me to the exact number. That's what you're referring to, correct?
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I would love to, man, I'd love to go back and hear that because I wonder about your take on being able to get really nice plus money, right? These bands are all 250 to plus 350. And a lot of them actually cover the baseline 110, which a lot of work goes into. And that line's been out for a month. So it's been vulnerable to movement. So it's, I don't want to say it's settled, but it's mostly settled. And you get to cover it with a 2-game cushion in each direction. I was talking about the Texas Rangers today. They're set at 85.5, which is exactly what it took to get into the playoffs last year. So you start thinking, well, I like the Rangers because, you know, they're pretty talented team on both sides of the ball. Do you like the over? It's minus 110. I don't really like to hang minus 110 for 6 months. So are you looking to make the playoffs? That was minus 125. And it turns out the win band was 83 to 88 at plus 260. So if it's a 52.5% implied probability to either side for the over or under, that drops down to 28% to kind of hit that cluster, which, again, if you believe the lines are pretty sharp, that math checks out.
Yeah, and you know what they have here at Circa? I'm just, as you're talking, I'm checking this out now on my Circa app. They have, in the same way that they have alternate season win totals in the NFL.
I was just going to ask about
they this. Have these for baseball. So not quite the bands you were talking about and I was talking
but
about.
Close.
But they have.
That's awesome.
I'm trying to identify exactly how many games it is to each side. Is it like 6 games one way or the other? I think so. The Guardians, let me use my Guardians one, it's 82.5. So it's, they have an 87.5 and they have a 75.5. So what
is
that?
Now you could run the upside. If you could run the upside for a team like Texas, I mean, theoretically, the problem with Texas on paper, they should be like a top 3 overall team. Everybody knows the injuries are a concern, right? Between DeGrom and Eovaldi. I think they have got 5 Tommy Johns in the rotation. Corey Seager's always missing time. You know, it's just part of the game. But if you could run it up, because one of the problems with the 83 to 88 I was just talking about is this team could win 92-95 if they stay healthy. I mean, listen, if you get 30 games from DeGrom, he's the best player in baseball running away.
Right.
So I like that. Although if people are looking at the bands, you could have got that upside for plus 360. You have to split those bets, but you still get a pretty nice return if you hit. Again, a little cushion to the downside and then all the way up to the upside. So I always like how you guys are willing to be malleable. You know, some people very set in their way. It's either over or under.
Well, this is the beauty of baseball in particular, right? I was talking about this yesterday. There's so many different ways to bet so many things. So just using my Guardians one, under 82.5, if you wanted to play them under 75.5 at Circa, you get at +215, but that 74-79 band that was available at DraftKings is +320. So you have to decide for yourself what's the best way to bet what you, you know, what your conviction is.
Right. Well, that's where that next kind of layer, that second order thinking of analysis comes.
Yeah.
A team like Cleveland, for me, it's very hard to picture them bottoming out because they have such a strong track record of pitching development. You know, the sneeches on beaches go in without a star and they come out with one.
Yeah.
But it happens all the time. They've been known to kind of have these reclamation projects that do work out. That said, there's a downside to Cleveland that, which is weird because they're not like the fanciest team. They seem to be getting by on some name brand push right now.
Well, for all of these teams, and Adam Burke's going to come on tomorrow. He's going to tell me why he's bullish on Cleveland, that he's going over the season win total.
I'm going to listen to that for sure.
Yeah, so it's you know, everyone's got their opinion on how they arrive at everything. But for all of these teams, there is a spectrum. Again, like if everything breaks their way, this is their ceiling. If everything goes against them, here's their floor, and then everything in between. And so, you know, for this to happen, this must happen, right? The Guardians are great, are just one of 30 examples of this. For the Guardians to be good, right, before they get players back, they've got to, like, at least tread water the first couple months. They probably have to have Tanner Bibee be really good. Yep. So every one of these teams has that kind of calculus that you have to make, and so makes it endlessly fascinating. Before
you're also assuming 160 games from Jose Ramirez.
That's right.
They're very, very top-heavy. They also jettison Josh Naylor for the black magic woman, Carlos Santana. And, you know, he's a little long in the tooth. I'm just saying they continue to, like, push the envelope of getting by on these. These guys are the best athletes in the world. But, like, replacement-level kind of players, there's not much behind them in the minor leagues. I just not seeing Cleveland to the upside there.
Okay, so your Rangers bet again is, real quick?
I like that band, 82-88.
Okay.
Right, again, if you believe in the sharpness of the line, and you think maybe the injuries pop up, but maybe they're not totally catastrophic because, again, Eovaldi's had Tommy John, DeGrom is on two Tommy Johns, Molly has a Tommy John, John Gray, the White Wolf of Winterfell, who I definitely love, and Cody Bradford, but they also have Kumar Rocker, who has a Tommy John, waiting in the wing. So there's a lot there as far as pitching goes, but it's a long season, and the odds of any of these guys making 30 games is probably pretty low.
So we had our coworker, our VEASAN host, Jonathan Von Tobel, who also happens to be an Angels fan, on earlier with us, and he had a bullish Mike Trout bet. You also have one.
Yes, give me Mikey the Fish. I think we've jumped the shark with our ability to try and predict injuries. Is he going to play 162? No, but his current home run line is listed at 24.5 -115. We go back 7 years really quick. He's at 14.5 PAs per home run, 48 hard hit, 17 barrel, 14% pull fly ball line drive. So we know the power is there. Rough back of the napkin math means at this pace, we need 375 PAs. We also know home runs come in clusters, and he's healthy right now. He could hit 12 or 13 in a month. Like, that's not outrageous. If we really wanted to push the envelope, he could hit 16 in a month. This is Mike Trout. He's, you know, for my dad, it was Mickey Mantle. For me, it's Mike Trout, just undisputedly the best player of a generation. So wow. He's just got to get out there enough, you know?
Two guys on one show, loving Mike Trout. I didn't expect that to happen this morning. John, more energy next time, okay?
Oh, I miss you, man. I definitely do. Hope it shows.
Love you, man. John Legace, everybody, right here on A Numbers Game. We'll have him all season talking baseball with us. Can't wait for that. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke, all his bets next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live from Circa. Hey, VSiN fans, it's time to plan your next Vegas getaway. Circa Las Vegas owner Derek Stevens offering you 15% off at three incredible properties. Circa Las Vegas, the D, and Golden Gate. Whether you're lounging by Circa's stunning rooftop pool or enjoying all the excitement Vegas has to offer, you'll save big with promo code VSiN15. Book your stay now at CircaLasVegas.com and use VSIN15, that's VSIN15, to get 15% off. Your Vegas adventure starts here. We haven't been back to the D, man. We should go back there one day just for, you know, giggles.
I was there for the Circa Millions check presentation.
Oh, yes. And I was told later that perhaps it would have been nice if you were there, Gil.
I was told that while I was there.
You were the one who told me.
It was my fault for not bringing you.
You were the one who told me afterwards. I'm like, well, all they had to do was tell me. That'd be nice. I was there. As so many people have discovered Survivor, or just discovered Circus Survivor through this show.
Yeah.
Perhaps it would have been nice of me to be there.
It was very cool running into a bunch of people that regularly listen and watch the show. I mean, Todd Bubba Horowitz and I had a long conversation.
Yes, like,
I just ran into a bunch of people. It was great.
We're going to get Todd on.
Yeah.
This week or next week. Next week,
probably. I got Monday circled.
Monday.
I'm going to text him.
All right. Kelly and I will just book guests while the show's happening.
Or they'll book themselves.
Yeah, or in the case of Adam Burke, they'll just tell us they're going on. We get texts and we get tweets. Apparently, Zach Cohen was on both of my picks as well, Chilich and Joint.
Yes.
Chilich is already.
You two are in lockstep today on those two.
Lockstep, baby. Chilich, that price made no sense. Chilich wins earlier on at plus 123. Joint this afternoon. Okay. We get tweets of beating the book. Los Vegas 514. Yo, don't forget, Circa has the absolute best cumin lollipop lamb chops at 8 East on planet Earth. Scrumptious. Wow. Let me tell you, at 8 East.
Yeah, you've got a trick there, huh?
Yeah. Well, it's not my trick, but I get the brisket fried rice, but I order it, what's my man's name? Vital Vegas style. Vital Vegas is one of the great sort of Las Vegas follows on Twitter. And what that does is it adds chicken into it.
Okay.
All right. Fake follower 247. I love Ovechkin too. He had two goals towards a hat trick and caps ahead 6-2 on Sunday. They just keep feeding him the puck, and he got last goal scored with 2 minutes to go. He had a hat trick the other night. He scored the Caps' lone goal in their loss yesterday. Alex Ovechkin, the great eight, on his way. One would imagine now, perhaps this year, on pace to do it in April, for the most goals of all time. Topping the great one, Wayne Gretzky. Wayne will always be the best. He always will have the most points, for sure, in NHL history. That will be broken no time soon, not in our lifetime, probably. But in terms of goals, it looks like Alex Ovechkin will get there soon. Vegas J. Anyone else having issues with a numbers game no longer recording on YouTube TV? This is the second one about YouTube TV. Seems eerily similar to what happened to Follow the Money a couple months ago, he says. Ryan Hyatt, you know what day it is? It's Bill Crackman Eve. 24 hours from now, he'll be educating America on VEASAN with Gil and Kelly. Please dress appropriately and observe all warning signs. Brian Ortega coming up for Oscars. But first, from under a cloud of smoke in Southern California, ladies and gentlemen, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, you can follow him on Twitter at Spreadopedia. It's Jason Weingarten. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. Pretty excited to be back talking about baseball.
What do you got? What are you betting, man? What are you thinking?
Well, it's pretty nice. I actually like this time of year a lot. You get the college baseball. You get the tournaments about to come up, conference tournaments. You get spring training, a lot of stuff to get back into with baseball. First week of spring training, I'm not doing a ton. One of my favorite things to do, I'll let you in on, is during the Dodger games. Usually I got to go out and run errands. They start around noon on the West Coast. So I get in the car. I turn on the AM radio, and wouldn't you know it, the AM radio feeds ahead of live betting. So I just sit in my car, go do my errands for an hour, hour and a half, and I press button on my phone to live bet every time somebody scores a run. And it's the easiest $750,000 I make a day, driving around doing the work I got to do normally. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. How's your February going?
That's great.
Let me just also clarify. Jason said $750,000. He means $750 to $1,000 a day, not $750,000, not $750,000 a day. So wait, so you're saying so the AM radio feed is ahead of your live betting on a certain app, on a certain book, at a certain book?
It's more than one, but yeah.
Okay.
I actually think this could be scaled to probably most, if not all, spring training games. I just don't have time to sit in my car listening to the radio for every game, but I try to do it for the Arizona slate.
Because during the regular season, if you're even in the ballpark, they've gotten way better at this, right? That way better at getting ahead of it, live betting wise.
I mean, it's still, I actually think AM radio is the best source for. If you're trying to front run live betting, I prefer AM radio.
Okay. All right, but spring training is its own thing for sure.
I used to love betting spring training. I know I've told you this story before, but I used to get praise for, down in South Florida from like some of the old school MLB writers because of how early I would show up to cover spring training. And I'd be like, and in the back of my mind, I'm like, no, I'm just waiting for the manager to post the lineup outside the door so I can bet it today. You're like, that's all I'm waiting for.
As you are a big proponent of betting spring training baseball for the advantages that it holds. Have you found that it's as good as it ever was?
Yeah, it's been fine so far. It's so early. I know the Dodgers and the Cubs opened the season in Tokyo, like, what, the 17th or something of March. They had to get into camp and just, you know, start getting games under their belt to get up to regular season speed. But it just feels like unnatural. We're sitting here in the last week of February and we got full spring training slates. I really could have used another week vacation after the Super Bowl. It seems like the Super Bowl, the end of the Super Bowl and the start of spring training kind of gets closer and closer every year. And I could use some more time off.
Have you added any season longs? I feel like you're lollygagging this year, Jason.
I really am. I have no futures bets so far other than the ones we talked about when I was in Vegas. In terms of player futures, I started looking. I'm not like dying to jump into a lot of these, especially the only bet I saw that I thought was interesting was Sunday. Sandy Alcantara pitched and his numbers and his first game back from Tommy John were off the charts, but the market seemed to recognize that quickly. And what's it called? We went 40-1 to 50-1, 15-1 at FanDuel. So I didn't get a chance to bet that. I think that's probably a good bet if you find some straggler numbers, but I did not get a piece of that myself.
Refresh, because this was like before the Super Bowl where you gave out some season longs. Do you remember what they were? Could you refresh everybody's memory on those? Or for those who haven't heard it, let us
Rocky
know.
Braves under.
Wait, start from the beginning. Go ahead.
Rockies over, Braves under, Padres under. I think I bet the Dodgers under. I bet Dodgers, was it under total? Was it under whatever the most wins was?
Okay, now Jason, let's do it slower so people can actually digest it. Rockies over, you said?
Rockies over, yeah.
Okay. Braves under.
Braves under.
Dodgers, you think under, you played.
Yeah, either play Dodgers under or the most wins under.
Because he's not a fan.
He's not a fan, right?
Remember.
Padres under, you said?
Padres under.
Anything else?
I think there's one more.
You do an Angels bet?
Yeah, I think I did the Angels under. I don't like the Angels. That's pretty well known.
Angels under. Okay. And the Dodgers thinking is just they're not incentivized to win 103.5 baseball games kind of thing?
No, I mean they're not going to go out there and make their guys pitch 200 innings. They understand what they need to do to win another championship, and I think we're going to see more than usual this year that the regular season doesn't matter much anymore. Especially like you know how the NBA kind of is. I think baseball is sort of trending in the direction of the NBA when it comes to regular season games meaning anything.
Yeah, this is why I touched on this briefly yesterday at the top of the show, which is I was going through some bets that I was thinking about making or was just thinking about what others have made. And Steve Fezzik did a bunch of Dodgers over, Dodgers longest winning streak, and a lot of White Sox under stuff at the top and bottom of the league. And basically I seized on the, you know, number of teams to win 100 games plus, number of teams to lose 100 games plus, both of those lines set at 2.5. And I was making the point that I'm way more comfortable doing the over on the losing teams being over 2.5 of them losing 100 plus than I am on the winning side, because I think you're right. I think it's sort of creeping into that. It's been the ever increasing divide between the haves and the have nots. But I do think there's a little more load management on the top side that seems to be creeping in.
Yeah, load management, if you want to call it that, is definitely becoming a thing. I think we've just seen such a shift in how teams use pitchers in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
That's just when you look at, you know, oh, well, this happened 5 years ago or 10 years ago. It's like, yeah, well, they had, you know, two arms pitching 200 innings back then. Now they don't. So it's a different game. We're going to see that play out this season.
All right. Well, enjoy making your $750 to $1,000 today betting exhibition baseball. Cactus League.
Front running live lines. That's what it is.
or parlay them for $750,000.
Or that. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it. The Oscars are this weekend. They're Sunday night. Brian Ortega has your bets next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live from Circle Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, of course, alongside. We not only get tweets, we get texts. I love when regular guests of the show text in and they react to stuff. Steve Fezzik is not happy with Jason Weingarten's play on the Dodgers under. And his thinking is the Dodgers, the public loves them. They're going to bet them through the roof. The time to make the under bet on them is right before the season starts. We will bet. He always talks in the we pronoun. I don't know. We will bet the Dodgers under 106 at post. Now, he does say the complicating factor is the damn two games in Tokyo in March, but I am assuming the books are going to keep the Dodger win total up until the end of March when the real season starts. And he goes on, and I can read you more Fezzik text, but we got to talk Oscars because a special numbers game investigation reveals that the 97th Academy Awards are this Sunday night, and who better? Because it is not officially Oscar season until we bring him in. Who better to give us some Oscars bets than our own Brian Ortega, who's here in studio. How you doing, man?
Thank you, Gil. I'm excited to be here. I think I started talking about the Oscars for the first time with you back at the South yes. Point. So I appreciate you letting me come on and do it a couple times every year.
Oh, it's the best. Listen, before we talk about that, you have a podcast, Concierge Confidential.
Yes, Concierge Confidential. So we talk about Vegas. I give you inside looks of what it's like to work in Las Vegas, but also tips on how to come to Vegas, because it's not easy to visit here anymore. My latest episode is about the top 10 bars in Las Vegas, yeah, which I'm a big bar person. So number one, I'll just give it away, is Delilah's, which is my absolute favorite.
Dude.
But little doing to get in there, need little Vegas tricks to get into the bar area.
I'm not a drinker, and I could tell you that's number one.
Yes, it's a vibe. But I've also heard stories that, like, if you only go with a couple, it's sometimes a horror story to get a good seat at Delilah's as, like, it's two people.
My Delilah's tip remains the same. In the summertime, they open the doors.
Yeah.
Right? That's bad because you don't want to be sat outside.
That's right.
Because otherwise, you might as well not be at Delilah's.
Exactly, exactly.
So just make sure you sit indoors. That's yeah. the only pro tip. But it's beautiful because it's like you transported into the 1920s, I believe.
Oh, yeah, 100%. It feels so old great. School Vegas, for sure.
I love it. And by the way, Brian is not just some guy who decided to start a podcast called Concierge Confidential. You used to work here for years.
Yeah, I used to be a concierge for 5 years at MGM Grand when, like, concierging was cool. After the pandemic, I've noticed that it's not as cool as it used to be. Mm. Not as many cool, like, perks, which it always happens that way. But with that, I've become just a strip fiend. Like, I love to go to the strip. I'm a very rare local that likes to be. I go to the strip every single week. So
he's a strip fiend.
That's it.
All right, let's get to it. Best Picture.
Yes.
Anora, now you said this is a great betting year for the Oscars.
Yeah, so this is a great betting year for the Oscars, which doesn't necessarily mean it's a great year for movies. Because usually you have the movie, which this year was Dune. Like, Dune Part 2 was the best movie of the year, came out at the wrong time. The Oscars also doesn't like fantasy, like space films, think Star Wars. Star Wars has never won an Academy Award,
yeah,
but it's one of the most influential films of all time. But this year, it's really fun because it's a very, very tough year to bet on the Oscars. Even up to this moment, we have a plus 225 sort of like second favorite, which is very rare. Usually your best picture, you know, front runner, which right now is Anora at minus 200, would usually be like minus 600, minus 700, sometimes minus 1,000
right
at this point. So now still a good betting moment to get in on this.
So Anora is minus 200. Conclave, which is the one about the Pope, right?
Yes,
plus,
correct.
Choosing a Pope, plus 225. Correct me if I'm wrong, because I have seen none of these, by the way. Because I don't know if you know this, but I'm immersed in sports betting 24/7, 365. But was Emilia Perez, was that the favorite at one point?
It was very close. It has the most nominations. It has 13 nominations currently, which nobody understood. It's honestly one of the worst movies I've ever seen of the year. And I saw The Substance, which most people don't like The Substance, which is Demi Moore's film, which we'll talk about later.
Yeah.
But Emilia Perez had a lot of turmoil during the Oscar season. The lead actress, Sofia Gascón, had some really bad tweets that came out. Which, I mean, Emilia Perez was up to like 6-1 maybe a month ago. Now it's at 65-1, which rightfully so, because that movie should not have been anywhere near the best picture nomination list.
What's the bet here?
I have Anora. So I have Anora. I actually got Anora a while back. I have it at plus 300. I'm kind of mad I could have got it at like 12-1 long, long time ago, but I kind of waited. But Anora to me is a great film that basically, all these films are flawed, but I think Anora has one of the best stories. It has one of the best performances in Mikey Madison. It takes place, parts of it, in Las Vegas, where you can see Circa in the background, which is, you know, a fun little note. Yeah. But I think Anora is the best film. It also has won major precursors that it needed to win. It won the Producers Guild Awards, the Directors Guild Awards, and the WGA, which is the Writers Guild of America. But it's failed to win at the big televised events like the Golden Globes. It lost at BAFTA, and it also lost Best Ensemble to Conclave just last week. So it's a very weak front runner, but I still think it's going to pull through because of its PGA and DGA wins.
But you wouldn't necessarily recommend to people to bet it at minus 200, or you would?
Minus 200 for a favorite at this point in the Oscar race is like not terrible.
Not terrible. It's gotcha.
At this point. But if you want value, I don't mind you taking Conclave. Conclave's got a really good inside shot. It won at BAFTA, it won at the Golden Globes, and it also won Best SAG Ensemble last week. So at plus 225, you want to put like maybe half a unit on it, depending on your unit size. Just a sprinkle maybe on Conclave to maybe upset Anora. It's a very unpredictable year.
I know what you're doing, Ortega. You're filibustering so you can do two segments with us. I know what you're doing.
No, you're good.
Let's go to director. Best director.
Okay.
Where so, Sean Baker of Anora is the favorite at minus 175.
Yeah, so Sean Baker, speaking about the DGA, the Directors Guild of America Awards, one of the most predictive awards precursors for Best Director. Sean Baker right now is the favorite at minus 175. Then you have Brady Corbet, who directed The Brutalist at plus 135. Honestly, when you're looking at these markets, don't look any further than the first two people, especially at this point. It's going to be between these two guys. Brady Corbet won at the Golden Globes. He won at the Critics' Choice Awards, I believe. Sean Baker has won the big one, which is DGA, but man, it's like he's a very weak favorite. He also didn't win at BAFTA, which that was the Conclave director, Daniel Berger. So I don't know. I think it's Edward Berger. Sorry. But I like I do like Sean Baker in Best Director this year.
All right. Best Actor, Adrian Brody.
Yeah.
The Brutalist. Most famous Oscar moment is kissing Halle Berry against her will. Adrian Brody, The Brutalist, minus 230. Timothy Chalamet, who has proclaimed he wants to be great at this.
That's right.
From the Complete Unknown, the Bob Dylan one. Plus 150. Then you have Ralph Fiennes from Conclave at 16 to 1, far longer than that. And Kelly just sent me this tweet from Film Updates on Twitter. Two separate Oscars voters said that they didn't vote for Ralph Fiennes because he won before. What does this feel like? This feels like a voter fatigue on Jokic and stuff like that.
So,
by the way, they both believed he won an Oscar. Listen to this. They both believed he won an Oscar for Schindler's List in 1993, which he didn't.
Correct. He did not. So you kind of just go with it. I know like this, somebody sent me this the other day and I was like, well, you know, it's kind of like when people like complain about the best comeback player of the year in the NFL and also like the NBA, like MVP or, you know, comeback player stuff. Yeah, it's kind of just that's the voting body. Like you kind of just know. There's also about 10,000 voters for this, 10,500, I believe. And they usually go the right way. And sometimes they're completely wrong. But looking at this Best Actor Award, by the way, Ralph Fiennes, great in Conclave. Of all the movies on here that I think our listeners would probably watch, it'd be A Complete Unknown for the Bob Dylan people and Conclave, which is like an old school Oscar thriller. It takes place in the Vatican. Also, they couldn't plan it better by, you know, unfortunately having the Pope who's sick right now, which it's kind of like what Conclave is.
I was about to
so
say,
it's pretty
like,
wild.
Jason Weingarten already sent me like next Pope.
Oh my God, no.
Yeah. Like, I mean, you talk about.
I don't get into that. No. But anyway, so this is actually a really fun category, Best Actor, just because Adrian Brody was this sort of steamroller, just rolling down the hill, winning every single award, winning all the big ones, the Golden Globe, BAFTA. He also won at the Critics' Choice Awards. And then we get to SAG, which is the largest voting body, which also obviously votes on the Oscars. And boom, they give it to our man, Timothy Chalamet, the man of the moment. And I have a Timothy Chalamet ticket at plus 200, so I got this a while back. The Academy really likes when you, one, do a real person, so he's doing Bob Dylan, and also a musical. So a movie musical with a very, very prominent American figure. I still think Adrian Brody built up enough sort of, what's what I'm looking for, like collateral to get to the Best Actor on Sunday. But I still like Timothy Chalamet to sneak in. And I also saw the stat that 18 of the last 20 Oscars for Best Actor who've won SAG have gone on to win Best Actor. But this could be a weird year. But I have Timothy Chalamet at plus 200. It's going to be a tight race for Best Actor.
So you are kind of recommending Chalamet, but kind of not.
Yeah, just because it's like based on the math, he should win, like in terms of like the SAG thing. But Adrian Brody is sort of just one going down, going away.
Demi Moore is winning Best Actress?
Yes, I would say Demi Moore is most likely going to win Best Actress. She did lose at BAFTA, which was sort of a stumble. I have Mikey Madison, who I think puts in the better performance. Demi Moore had a great Golden Globe speech, which helped her during Oscar season. Demi Moore for Best Actress.
Screenplay to take us out.
So Best Original Screenplay is going to be maybe like one of the bigger upsets of the night. Anora won at the WGA, which has won 6 of the 10 Oscars it's matched in the last 10 years, 6 of the last 10. A Real Pain at 5-1 has won in all of the big categories on television networks. So at BAFTA, it also won at the Independent Spirit Awards, which both times went up against Anora and beat it. So if you're looking for a long shot bet, I do like A Real Pain at 5-1. Anora, I think, still wins, but as a little long shot, I have money on A Real Pain.
Ooh, A Real Pain, yep. Best Original Screenplay, 5-1. Brian, thank you.
Thank you, Gil. I appreciate it.
Brian Ortega, once again, Concierge Confidential, the check name of his podcast, wherever you get your podcast. Kelly and I wrap things up. Other side, we'll recap all our bets, too. Next, right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.